is knowing.
All right, Mal, welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 592. Jason Lindgren is with me and Dr. William Trebbing returns. We're going to be talking about cancer. And before we came on the air, I was talking about the sky clock sign cancer, the zodiacal sign cancer. And it's interesting, you know damn well there's got to be a connection between the disease we call cancer and the sky clock constellation. But the funny thing is that cancer is reckoned as the high point of the sun at the summer solstice. So we still to this day have a Tropic of Cancer on our maps, which we should not. The high point of the sun is no longer in Cancer. There is no longer a Tropic of Cancer. It should be Gemini. Shouldn't be Capricorn going the other way for the shortest period of the sun at the winter solstice. That should be Sagittarius. My point is it possible that while they were shuffling the sky clock and giving us bad information about just about everything, they kept the cancer idea around for the modern era where cancers have just escalated up and up and up and up? Just asking the question. And before we came on, I asked Dr. Trebbing, can you make any correlation between the symbology of a crab and the disease cancer? So I'll put it out to all you guys. A solid correlation, not a desperate reaching correlation. But with that, welcome, Jason.
And a hot good afternoon.
Dr. Trebbing, welcome back for, I don't know, what is this, 7, 8, 9 times now?
Oh, I'm so happy to be back with my friends here on Crow 777. You guys are amazing.
What's new with you? Anything you want to put down before we roll forward here?
Yeah, you know, I'm actively working in my practices and trying to take some vacations and working on books, as you all know. And I'm living my life within this crazy milieu of circumstances that seem to be happening everywhere.
What's a vacation?
Yeah, right. Yeah, for me?
There it is.
Yeah, I'll tell you what a vacation is for me. We had 3 weeks in South Carolina where I barely wore any clothes, and that's a scary thought for many. And I go to the beach in the morning with the dog. I have coffee with my wife. We go to the hot tub. We go to lunch. We play pickleball. We go back to the beach. Next day, repeat. And then I shower outside. I mean, I think I'm in the same shorts the entire time, and that's for swimming and pickleball. So, you know, it's just a kick-up kind of time. And what's interesting is the water down in South Carolina, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but Gordon Scallion and even Edgar Casey, he would always talk about the shale in South Carolina and parts of North Carolina and how it's under the oceans and it's through most of the states coming through. And if you've ever traveled, especially through the Charleston kind of coastal area of South Carolina around where I have my business in Mount Pleasant and Awandaw and all those different areas through there in the suburbs, there's just a really peaceful feeling that goes around there. And it's Edgar Casey says it's because he had said that it's because the shale just absorbs a lot of people's negative emotions and negative feelings. It's an absorber. It's if you carry around the rock, what's the black stone? I mean, my wife has them all over the house.
Onyx,
and there's another one that actually is good for absorbing.
Oh, you're talking about it's the one Derek gives it to us. What's it called? I'm actually wearing it and I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, neat.
Shungite.
Yeah, shungite is big on that. There are a number of dark stones that absorb negativities, not only from if you're feeling kind of down or something. It helps if you're in this world, if you're experiencing sad thoughts or depression, things like that. It just really lifts your mood. Great to wear, especially over your heart chakra, that type of thing. I wear one. And like, as I said, my wife has them all over the house. She has them in the car, you know.
Think about what you're saying there. That is a prime description to get people to think about vibration and frequency better. We all know that if we get like a pool cover, a black pool cover, it will absorb all the light because it's black, mm-hmm. right? We know that white would reflect it. So if we think beyond just the light spectrum into the color and the stone vibration, it's doing the exact same thing as we are already familiar with the light spectrum. So that's a keen observation you just made because it's exactly the same.
Yeah. You know, we're a family. My kids as well are just my son, especially he's a doctor of acupuncture now down in DC, doing very good down there. He does the same kind of work that I do, but not the same kind of doctor. You know, I'm a doctor of chiropractic. But ever since he was a little kid, he just loved getting his hands dirty in rocks and stones. And to my daughter, for the most part as well. But there's a predilection I think people have for just even just walking on the beach and picking up rocks, you know. I mean, different ones, it could be the luster, the beauty of it, but there's certain vibrations that all of these minerals carry that help us. I mean, I have quartz crystals here that I really consider part of my family. I mean, we have rose quartz under the bed. We've got, you know, if I've got an issue that I want worked on, I will take my quartz crystals, I'll program them with my intention and just put them around different photos. And I swear to God, it might take a little time, but they're helping you out.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. You know, and I've been told this by many a shaman. So folks out there in Crow 777 land, get yourself some shungite, get yourself some really powerful quartz crystals for the house.
Love quartz. Have I told you the story of Derek? You know who Derek Condit is, right? He's been on the show a number
of times.
Yes,
I do. I've heard of
him. I'm getting crystals and I'm up in this place that used to be local to me. They bailed out. They cut their whole thing in half. One store went one way and I found the other store. I walk in and there's this gorgeous 35 pound of apophyllite and mm-hmm. I wanted it.
Not Gemstone Gemstar in New Hampshire. Not that one.
No. This is in Rhode Island and the other one's up like near Boston or the airport or something. I don't know where the other one went. But anyhow, so I'm looking at it and I don't want to buy it. It's like over $300. Turns out we start talking and she says, oh, you're Crow. And so she gives me this huge break. And so then I do
it's good
buy
to be
it.
Crow.
Yeah. Well, I know. Well, sometimes. So I bring it home and I take a picture and I'm showing Derek Condit. He says, you're not going to believe this. I have the, and he's on the West Coast. I have the other half of that. And he sends me a picture and I got this 30, 35 pound chunk of apophyllite and he's literally got the other half of it.
That's amazing. And if you put them together, it'll be like Shazam. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, maybe probably something, the decoder
maybe
ring.
You'll turn into a superhero.
The genie and the crystal. Yeah, we better get going here. We're not going to get through all this.
The reason I mention that is because, especially with something dark, I think it's a portal. To be honest, because it transmutes negativities, negative energy, sickness. It'll just take that energy through it. Now you wonder, where does it go? It goes through there to someplace else, not this particular universe. I think it transmutes it. I think all powerful stones like this are kind of like portals to another dimension. Do you feel that intuitively as well?
Yeah, it comes down to the frequency, right? It's the same thing
with the
smell of a flower. The first time I recognized that the really old, respected workers of natural magic said that the smell of a flower comes from a plane higher than us. And when you smell a flower and you have that knowledge, you recognize this is magical. This is something very special. And then you hear it about bees. Right? Bees are actually at a higher plane vibration than human beings. And when you begin to realize it, I think crystals are the same way. And by the way, when I first put that 35 pound chunk next to us where we sit in the living room sometimes, I almost couldn't take it at first. I thought, oh, I can't do this. And yeah, but then I normalized to it or however that works. And now I'm completely good. But at first, it's like all of a sudden I started feeling like I was high. Then I started feeling like I was not good high. And then eventually it mellowed out. But anyhow, let me run through this and get us into the notes here. Here's all the episodes Dr. Trebbing's been on. 534, 506, 447. His wife, Julia Trebbing, was on 407. He was on episode 391. And lastly, 363. If we count your wife, this is the seventh time we've had you or your family on. But we're going to jump into cancer, and it's funny how you wrote it in your notes, cancering. I don't think I've read that before, but how do you want to do this, Jason? Do you want to pin to the notes, or what do you want to do here?
We could pin to the notes. I mean, I've got some good things in those notes to follow an outline. I'm trying to get the most amount of information out for people as we possibly can, because, you know, cancer, it's the thing everybody really worries about, and it's the thing everybody really wonders about as well. That's why I say, when I start by saying, how does the body start cancering? I mean, it's a process. So when we're talking about cancering your body from a practitioner standpoint, because I deal with cancer patients, I've been doing it in my studies I've been in practice 40 years, so I would say at least 30. I started with AIDS patients when I was practicing in East Chester, New York, curing all of them. And it's really the same concept. It's just the body going wild with inflammation. Now, people know that cancer is a disease of proliferating bad cells. If you take it to the different level, why are they doing what they're doing? And if you think that it's all about toxicity, just like the germ theory thesis that I'm always talking about, we live in a toxic environment and your body is under constant stress to remove the toxins that are creating disease. And it is set up that way in our environment. Here's one thing I want to state before we get into it. Nobody really knows what it's like to be honestly, physically free. You know what I mean by that? Is that we have so many intentional toxins in the air, the water, the food that are placed there to keep our bodies enslaved in a constant measure of fight or flight and fighting that, you know, the human being was not designed to live like this. We're designed to live in conjunction with nature. We're talking about these stones and everything. They have a purpose with us. And all the medicine we could possibly want for healing is all within the plants. It's all within what's provided for us by the creator. And that being said, the powers that be, the cabal, has messed with all of that, especially the last 200 years, but for hundreds of years. Every major disease, every major cancer is due to toxicity. And we can go back to my germ theory, Goodbye Germ Theory book and thesis, where all of these different diseases that they're talking about, people are getting vaccinated and vaccinating their kids for, from all the childhood diseases, measles, everything, is just a form, smallpox, everything, just some form of detoxification process that the group, the species is going through. And cancer is no different. I put up on the notes there for you guys that the primary heavy metal creating cancer these days that is in our soil and in our water is cadmium.
You're the third doctor. The guy we interviewed yesterday, also a doctor, said exactly what you're saying about cadmium, and it's been said one other time recently here.
Right. I don't know if Rose is here anymore, but I gave her a map to post up in the comments. The map, it basically shows the cadmium concentrations throughout the country. And take a look at that. It's astounding when you see this. And to understand that, first of all, how did cadmium get all over the place? Well, you know, I mean, the textile industries back in the turn of the 20th century and the late 19th century were dumping all of their chemicals and dyes and everything like that into the woods. Here, where we live primarily in Greenwich, Connecticut, there is an area called Stamford, Connecticut, and North Stamford has some pretty expensive real estate. But what people don't realize is that the textile companies from New York in the 1910s and 1920s would come up here when it was nothing but farmland and just open space. And they would just dump everything in what is now called North Stamford. The cancer rate, ovarian, breast, any kind of woman cancer, okay, that comes from endoderm, all right, is through the roof in North Stamford, Connecticut. And anybody could look this up. And it's been that way since 1990. Now I have a patient who's a lawyer who developed cancer, who investigated all of this. She investigated her well water, found a tremendously ridiculous amount of cadmium before anybody was even concerned about it, and arsenic and all those sorts of heavy metals in her well water, because it's all wells up there, right? And so she discovered why the cancer rate was so high. She then went on to go sue the town, saying it's the town's fault. She did not win because the town said, no, well, it's not our fault. That's just the real estate up there. And it's not our job to clean it. It's been there for a long time. And that's when she discovered it was three or four primary textile industries. And she went after them. You know, there was a movie with John Travolta, and there was also a movie about that woman, the lawyer. I mean, you know, there's been different movies about this, the lawyers that go after industries that have dumped and the cancer rate goes crazy, right? But it's all about the dumping. And then 50, 60, 70 years later, you have generations of cancer in families as a result of this, simply by buying real estate, right? So cadmium, what it does is it attaches, and the reason it causes breast cancer in particular, prostate cancer in men, is that because it has an electronic, it's called electronegativity, it's highly attracted to the endometrial cells, which form the primordial prostate, breast, ovarian, uterine linings. So it gets attached in there. Once it gets attached in there, the genetics of the cell go haywire and they start creating cancer. This is not just something I'm making up. This is documented. And There is a doctor in South Carolina, a very respected medical doctor. His name is Dr. Joseph Hickey. He's older than me, but still practicing, and he does a lot of chelation. We talked about chelation in several shows, right? But he does the actual, for cancer patients in Hilton Head, South Carolina, he does the IV chelation. Rose, you and I were talking about EDTA. He does use that, but you got to be very careful. EDTA for chelation needs to be done controlled, and it needs to be done briefly. Otherwise, it's going to start leaching the calcium out of your body as well. That's why there are many other chelation agents. I've talked about this on other shows about the oral chelation methods that we provide, even virtually. A number of your folks, Crow, have called and got the chelation protocols from us. They involve using DMSA, apopectin, safer chelation compounds that you could use orally that pull the heavy metals, including cadmium, out of your body. But again, this is an ongoing battle. The environment is so toxic that you clear it out, another couple of years, you've built it right back up again. So it's not only cadmium toxicity, it's also mercury and lead and nickel, tin. I like to say non-food additives, things that are really not foods, that even just canola oil, which is you go into any Whole Foods market, you're going to find, you know, more than half the stuff is made with canola oil. It is the cheapest synthetic oil that you could actually even put in your car out there on the market. Food companies use it because they're allowed to and it's cheap, but the free radicals that canola oil breaks down to are far more harmful than any other oil breaking down. And then there's artificial sweeteners. People think stevia is good. It is not. It breaks down to certain free radicals that can also irritate cellular linings. Processed wheat products, processed sugars. You know what else has cadmium and mercury? And did you know that there are a lot of pharmaceutical drugs?
There's an anti-cancer experiment going on using cadmium, which is funny because, as we know, homeopathy uses like to fight like, but they're saying it's limited because of the toxic side effects. But are you aware there's two species of tree that will clean both lead and cadmium out of your soil? Willow trees and poplars. And depending where you live, a poplar could maybe be an aspen or a cottonwood, but those clean both lead and cadmium out of the soil, which is something to know because Rose just sent me the map. And that is crazy. I'm fortunate. I live in a blue region, but there's a lot of cadmium around.
So you're blue there in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
That's good. And look at New Jersey.
Unreal.
Wherever you see the high cadmium rates are going to correlate with high cancer rates every single time. Who's talking about this? You hear about this when you turn on Fox News or CNN? No, you never hear about any of this. You hear that cadmium is in your statin medication? No, you don't hear about that either, do you? So it's highly carcinogenic. So there's also toxic farming pesticides that have it. So we can get into how they talk about everything causes cancer. Well, everything causes cancer because nobody's really careful with what we put into our environment. Even recreational drugs like Mary Jane, the pot industry is really proliferating out there. But there have been several studies that have come up over the last 5 years, which have shown a tremendous amount of mercury and cadmium in the weed, in the processed weed, now that weed is proliferating everywhere. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, we used to get Mary Jane from the local guy that grew it in his backyard organically, the Maui Wowie or whatever else he was doing. So we were rest assured that as long as his soil was good, that, you know, maybe you weren't getting it. But today, with mass producing of marijuana, you don't really know how they're curbing the pesticide user, even if they are or they're not. Pesticides have a tremendous amount of heavy metals, all right, just by the nature of what they are. You know, they kill insects and they make whatever you're trying to protect inhabitable for them. So they have to coat it with something that is toxic, right? So that's the basis of the heavy metal part of it all. If you have a heavy metal within your system that gets to a certain level, and this is why the other doctor we're talking about, he analyzes it with the hair. You can analyze it from the urine. You can analyze it from the hair. This stuff is going to hide in your body, though. Your body is going to store it in fat cells. Primarily, it's going to store it in your bones. That's why when you go through a chelation process and the chelation agents go through even your bone marrow to pluck it out, the pre and post urine tests are, especially with mercury, are just astounding. I mean, with our chelation methods, just the oral chelation methods with the DMSA, every time we do it, the last time I did it, it wasn't as high. It was only 1,000% draw, but I've had up to 4,000 times the normal amount of mercury in urine come out. Now, it makes it inert, so it can't hurt you anymore. That's why it's coming out in your urine, but you get an idea of how much of this stuff we actually have in us. And what's astounding is that the body just takes care of it. Not everybody has cancer, but the cancer rate is going up astronomically everywhere because our environment, the body, especially childhood cancer, is through the roof. It's over 3,000 to 4,000 times more than it was back in 1980 because of all the heavy metals and toxins and vaccines. And people think aluminum is innocuous. You know, it's not at all.
How far back in time would you have to go that there's documented evidence that this wasn't a big deal?
What, the heavy metals?
The cadmium.
The heavy metals, but also the cancer rates. So how far back in time would you have to go where cancer wasn't a normal thing that so many people got? And if someone did get it, they'd be like, oh my God.
Well, it was rare in 1910, 1920. You know, nobody was getting cancer back then. People got it, but they primarily got it when they were around the same reason they were getting sick with tuberculosis. It's heavy metal poisoning from the Industrial Revolution. But for the most part, the air was clean, the water was pure, unless you were experiencing dumping someplace. But I would say that my father died of pancreatic cancer in 1958, and he had an awful lot of sugar products back at that time. There's question on that, too, because he was also involved in military intelligence in World War II and was working with uraniums and things like that that he carried on his belt. Essentially, the powers that be there went to my mother at the time and said, well, we're giving you benefits for you and your kids, just don't ask any questions. So I had to investigate that when I was 21, 22, going back and finding the military records and the hospital records and everything, just to find out that he died of pancreatic cancer. Until I was 22 years old, I thought he died of lung cancer. That wasn't the case at all. So there was a whole other origin for that. But so, you know, around the 50s and 60s, it really started moving up even further. And now it's just like commonplace. Don't we all know somebody who's had cancer? Isn't that true?
Yeah,
that's a fact.
There is at least one or two people in our families that have had cancer.
Way more than that for me.
Right. And people just look at that's la-di-da. Oh, we don't really know what's causing it. Oh, boy. You know, it's like taking that vaccine, you know, give the kid the vaccine. Oh boy, he's got learning problems. La-di-da, don't know what happened, pass the salt. I'll say this, if you're vaccinating your kids today, it's like having a six shooter and having three bullets in it. And every time you give them a vaccine, you got to pull that trigger against your kid's head. So you've got that much of a chance of your kid being damaged from the vaccine. I mean, years ago, before vaccines, you would have, from all the different problems out there that your children might die from, I would say you can put one bullet in 15 six shooters and pick any one of them. That was the chances of your child getting that bullet. Today, you have just one with three bullets in it, and it's a six shooter. As far as cancer is concerned, it's probably about two bullets in there in a six shooter. And whether or not you're going to get cancer, it has to do with how your body deals with inflammation. And your body is filled with inflammation. So the next thing I brought up was to give people a better understanding. Basically, so what if I'm toxic? A lot of people say my body can handle it. They'll just detoxify it. I can do detoxifying things. You know, it's really hard to do that when we just live in a toxic milieu of air, water, and processed food things, right? When your body's in a constant state of overwhelmment from these things, ongoing mind control, energetic, emotional stress. In our world, the default state of everyone is kind of like this programmed in fight or flight. And that's not only your mind, that's also your body. So let's go over just the basic anatomy of cancer. You know, like, what is it?
Before you go forward, let me just offer this in. I just noticed that the map, the data was drawn on that map from 1983. So I'm guessing it's a hell of a lot worse. But Jason asked the question and I got interested.
There are maps. By the way, there are maps that are sooner. I mean, Dr. Hickey has them all. And you know, I've seen them up to 2018. And they are worse. Nobody's cleaning this up.
I went and looked at the etymology, which actually answered my question. The word cancer also means tumor. And it's claimed the Greeks said that the big veiny tumors look like crabs. So there's one of the connections. But what Jason asked, from 1800 all the way till 1880, there were either 0 to 5 in a million people supposedly having cancer. From 1880 to 1920, then it goes up to 10 people in a million. But from 1940 to now, and this is what I'm laughing about, and the reason I'm bringing this forward, they're claiming 60 people per million have cancer, and I'm not buying. Are you buying that currently, that only 60 people per million have cancer?
That's very, very low.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's kind of like the propaganda that's out there saying that everybody's going to vote for Kamala Harris because she's just such an amazing individual, right? You know, and she has tens of thousands of people at her conventions, you know. And
well, they also said the Olympics is off the charts successful. So
yeah, right.
They say what they want.
Well, they have the entire world controlled by propaganda. I mean, everywhere you go, isn't there a TV set somewhere?
Multiple.
Everywhere. I mean, talk about Big Brother reaching in. We're in it right now. And people are just so drawn to it that as soon as that TV is on, they just, you know, even if they're eating with their family in a restaurant, boom, it goes right there. I do it myself. Sometimes I just like to relax, have a glass of wine, sit there with my wife, watch some sports. You know what I mean? It's a nice distraction. But we're always being programmed with some message or another. As soon as those pharma commercials start coming on, it goes in there. So they lie to us constantly about that. So no, that's a really underrated stat. I mean, the cancer rate is far, far higher than that. I mean, the cancer industry is booming. It is so profitable. And you can barely have enough cancer facilities in every town. Don't you notice that? I mean, look around your own town. I want everybody to look around their town, so even if you're a small town, and tell me what kind of either cancer imaging or therapy kind of doc-in-the-box place you might have that has just shown up somewhere. You don't necessarily have to go to a hospital. Now they're building like ancillary kind of like pocket, like little side shows that if you can't get to the hospital for your chemo or your radiation, now they've got it on the street corner next to Chick-fil-A. Have you noticed that?
We have. The other thing that goes along with what you're saying is the amount of places that are doing dialysis.
Yeah.
They're all over the place around here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then heavy metals get filtered through the kidneys, and that's certainly wherever these heavy metals go, they're going to wreak havoc, even if they don't cause cancer. It's not just the cancer. The cancer is on the cellular level. So I started to explain this. What it's all about is about just a deep inflammation. All right. Now there's something called a histocyte. Okay. A histocyte is a necessary part of your connective tissue. And connective tissue, I know folks out there in Crow Land understand, is the largest organ of the body. It's actually just declared the newest organ by Harvard Medical School. It is a vast interconnecting milieu of just gooky stuff that runs through your organs, outside your organs. It's connective tissue. It's like when you see a butcher opening up a cow, it's all the stringy stuff that's within there. It's alive and vibrant with fluids and cells and microbiology that is just, you couldn't even understand it on, even if you studied it for two lifetimes. It's so intricate. It runs through everything, through every organ. And the biggest part is in your belly around your solar plexus. It's called the mesentery or the omentum. It's why when you have an operation, you cut through this connective tissue that people get so sick. Because you're interrupting not only an energetic flow, but a biochemical flow of healing that goes throughout your body. It's how your body, it's not only the nervous system, but it's how your body understands that if your thyroid is malfunctioning or has a problem in it, your big toe knows about it because everything is completely connected. It's what I work with when I work with people with craniosacral work in my practice, because everything is connected in the body, which is why when I work on the sacrum in the lower back, I can affect the neck and back and forth. And people are fascinated by the results when they see it happening, if you know how to work it. The way cancer operates here is that when you get these heavy metals attached to the cell on a micro level, the irritation begins and the body uses what's called a histocyte to create an inflammatory process. The inflammatory process, it's almost like you need more water, you know, within the area. So we start inflaming the area so the healing elements can get there faster. Okay. And the healing elements are not necessarily antibodies or anything like that, but there are varying levels of healing elements that run through this mesentery that are created by the histocytes that start the process of trying to detox that cadmium attached to the cell. Okay. If it builds up and it overwhelms the body, this process of inflammation just goes on. It's just ongoing. And between the inflammatory process and the metals being attached and overwhelming the body in this way, the body is constantly in fight or flight. And cancer is when it goes haywire, when the body is now trying to control it in such a way that it now encapsulates it. And that's called a tumor, right? So the popular thought, it's almost like the popular thought of a virus, something is attacking you. Okay, now this cancer cell is attacking you. Well, that's not necessarily it. The cancer cell is created by a toxin. In this case, let's say it's cadmium, all right? And that cadmium, toxic now milieu of a cellular structure, the genetics get all fumbled up, and it's not producing more of a cancer cell. It's trying to encapsulate an overly toxic situation, okay? So first you get the benign tumor, which is the one that tries to encapsulate the toxicity, and we can cut that out. Okay, great, if we're lucky. What a malignancy is when the toxic cells then break out from that milieu and start traveling around the body. And those particular resonances and genetics now affect wherever it's traveling to. And this is where you get the problem with metastases. And that happens sometimes very quickly. Like, let's say it's in the bone marrow. It all depends on the vascularity. Leukemias, so many different forms of leukemias. You can have leukemias with the platelets, with the white blood cells, which is the characteristic. It's essentially where these heavy metals are going to attach and where the body is creating inflammation and targeting it, right? And it's all about being overwhelmed. Most of us have so much of this metal in us, but we don't have cancer because the body has it under control. Now, what are the factors that push it over the edge from being in control to cancer? Well, it could be microwave radiation, right? It could be the COVID shot. Look how many people got cancer after the COVID shot. You notice that?
Turbo cancer is what we're hearing about now.
Turbo cancers, right. You introduce another toxic agent by virtue of a COVID shot that I believe is put in there intentionally. And I'm going to use the word nagalase one more time at risk of being dumped in a river someplace, like several other natural doctors have been. But I believe that they intentionally put a product called nagalase, which is a enzyme that cancer cells release. Nobody really knows why they release it, but nagalase is highly toxic and makes the environment more hospitable for cancer cells to grow, all right? But it shuts down the normal cell process, and now whatever these warped genetics are can grow better since nagalase is the substance released within that environment. I think they've been putting this stuff in vaccines for decades, and there have been healthcare practitioners, a couple of chiropractors, a few hundred have been murdered or killed. If you research this back from 2010, because they were just about to release the fact that Pfizer was putting these in its vaccines, nagalase in the vaccines. And so people were showing up dead all over the place. You start messing with the cancer industry and the cancer conglomerate, you're going to wind up Clintonized, hanging yourself because you're so depressed someplace. They do not want you to mess with this industry. They do not want treatments that are effective for taking care of how your body is overwhelmed and creating cancer or cancering. They don't want, if you want an effective treatment, if you've got the money, you can go down to Mexico, but they charge astronomical amounts of money to be able to do these alternative treatments that are not allowed in the United States. Many of the doctors who do these treatments used to practice in Arizona or New Mexico or something like that. And the FDA or the AMA has run them out of town, taken away their licenses, even going into their labs with guns at gunpoint and destroyed all their research and everything like that. And so they had no choice but to move down to Mexico, particularly in Tijuana, which is a really big a place to go for cancer treatment. The, you know, the Mexican cartels don't mind this. It brings in money, brings in gringo money, things like that. And people spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 trying to get themselves better in these places.
Home of Gerson.
And exactly, there's a Gershwin Institute down there.
I've heard it's gone to hell, though. I've heard since Charlotte died, it got corporatized.
Exactly. Yeah, so you really have to learn how to do Gershwin on your own. And Gershwin is a fine method to purify the body, a fine method to help the body release these heavy metals that are causing it. So I want people to understand that the first thing that happens is you get these toxins, these heavy metals, which create a ridiculous imbalance, not only electrically, okay, on the molecular level. Everything is on the molecular, the microcellular electrical level, right? And all of these heavy metals contain a charge, right? They're like fields, and they interrupt with the signals that your body sends or receives. Well, they interrupt the natural flow of healing signals that the cell is able to receive. Therefore, the cell goes kind of nuts and it hyperproliferates in order to either encapsulate the problem, which is the metal or the toxin that is causing the issue, or the genetics just go completely out of control if the toxicity just gets too heavy and the ongoing inflammation just is not relenting. So the pathway of cancer creation from benign to malignant, once the cancer cleansing process has begun, it's not easy to convince the body to shut it off, you see? And this is where, despite the fact that it might kill you, see, that's the problem we face, because our environment has been engineered. People really need to understand this. Our environment has been engineered to keep people sick and enslaved with their sickness for the profit of the cabal, of these elites. If you haven't understood that with vaccines or COVID, folks, it's really time to just jump in on that bandwagon and understand this, all right? They are using humanity as a herd of cattle. This is human farming, and this is part of the farming process, okay? They're experimenting on us. They don't want the cancer rate to go down. They want it to keep getting higher. It's just this population control of the herd. So the things that really would end cancer, first of all, the cleanup would end it. But what's astounding to me is that the Creator and God is so magnificent. Croy, you were talking about the trees that absorb these different toxic environments. I have so many examples in what I've researched and studied in understanding that there's got to be some sort of knowledge here, of foreknowledge here from the Creator, that these things are happening or are happening. In my lectures, I talk about how they've been trying to create babies from same-sex partners for decades, right? And so what they do is they take two sperm cells and they take the genetics out and they mix the genetics in a petri dish, right, of two sperm cells, and they then put it into an artificial egg and they implant that egg in mice, okay? The results are disastrous. It never works, and it never works because there is a marker on same-sex gametes that is either eggs or sperm. There's markers on every single one of these gametes that we have, okay, that prevent same-sex fertilization. Now, wait a minute. Who thought of that? Who thought of putting these proteins on there that sperm is going to reject sperm and egg is going to reject egg, chromosomes? The only thing that works is when you mix the sperm with the egg. Ah, then you have an electronegative attraction that creates a baby, okay, in every different species. But who would have thought that humankind or some would be become so perverse in their thinking that they would be like, I want to take two sperms and make a baby, or I want to take two eggs and create a baby. I mean, some of us have the foreknowledge to think that we might try to mess with that. So someone said, some higher being said, well, let's put these markers on there so they just can't do that. Now, just recently, a couple of years ago, they were successful at doing this, but not with sperm cells. They did it with two eggs, okay? And they took the genetics from two eggs, they mixed it together, and they made an artificial egg again, and they put it in the mice, and they bore all females, no males. They just bore all females, and they died after, I think the oldest one lived was about 3 months. They were able to bear them, but they were all not viable. So there's probably some other levels of preventing that. But you know, do you know how much of your tax dollars when you pay the IRS goes into your government funding funding methods, biotech companies, funding methods to make babies out of two eggs or two sperms. Is that a project you want to pay for?
And why I don't want to pay for any of the things they use, the money they take.
Here's the thing. Why are they doing it? Crow, you've said so many times on your program that what they're doing is anti-creation, right? They're just trying to flip everything upside down, up is down, back is front, take the entire way the creator has designed things to harmoniously fit. And we're part of that, that harmonious milieu, that homeostasis, but to take that entire thing and flip it over on its head and shake it upside down, all right? And that's what true Satanism, if there is a definition of it, beyond a religious point, is. It's taking God's creation, or whatever word you want for God, stick it in there. The creator, the universe, the infinite, the self, whatever. Okay, something created us. And even if you don't think something created you, well, then think about what created that thought that nothing created you. I mean, something created what we're experiencing here right now.
They cannot even come close to replicating.
Or controlling, right? So you've said many times on your programs that the only thing they can do is try to turn it upside down.
So then they can claim to be gods of their inferior system.
Bingo.
It's a death-based system because the life-based system they can't hack.
Right. Well, the life-based system is so complicated because it comes from an infinite mind. It doesn't come from the human mind. Satanism comes from the human mind. You know, there's the old biblical story of whatever the prince was that went up to the top of the mountain and he thought he was killing God by shooting arrows into the sky, right? Of course, that ended with him being struck by lightning and falling off the mountain. It's an allegory. You know, I mean, come on. Let's just understand. I mean, Emerson said that a day in the life of one cell, even for a minute, is enough fascination to steal all the luster from fiction. You can't even possibly fathom what it took to create a eukaryotic cell. Okay, it's a work of infinite art. And a eukaryotic cell is just who you are. You're made up of eukaryotic cells, a living cell. Okay, but you have no idea how it works. You have no idea how it replicates. You could observe it, but you have no idea how the process works. And this is why they're trying to mess with genetics and make mice out of two sperm cells, two egg cells. Because you're right, these are people that think that they are gods and that we could do it. You know, we could be just as good as God. We could be your God, and this is how you're going to live. You are our cattle.
We've got to get ready to wrap for hour one, but have you heard the following? I heard, and I still haven't had time to try to track it or do something meaningful, that they have found if you take some of the genetically altered crops and you let three generations go by, that they revert back. Have you heard this?
I have heard that.
Do you think it's true?
They revert back to normal?
Yeah.
Well, they have to, because the infinite is within the soil.
This kind of shows exactly what you're talking about. And I almost want to say, you know, how did this thing come to, well, it created itself. Like what we call evolution, like how did that bird get that last feather that it now has that it didn't have? It's because it was interactive in the environment and all of that put together somehow decided that it needed the extra feather. But we're kind of at the top of the first hour.
Can I say something just on that for your people to take away from this first hour if they're not listening to the second? Is that you can never understand how your body fully works. You can never understand how the infinite has structured the magnificent healing power of your body. You can never get it because you have a human mind. It's like looking at a file cabinet that's empty. You're not going to get it. You're never going to get it. Stop trying to get it. The only thing you can do is learn how to flow with it. And that's what I would like your first hour people to take away.
Jason, do you have anything or shall I head for the first hour break?
I have a question that I'd like to open up with in hour two.
Okay.
Mainstream doctors who are completely part of this multi-billion dollar cancer system, do they not notice that we're in the future now and there are other ways of looking at things, or are they completely oblivious? And if they are completely oblivious, they're really not that smart, are they?
Hold that thought, Dr. Trebbing. Can you please tell folks where they can find you and your work? And also, how soon can we expect your next book?
I have switched it around. It is now called Germ Theory and Other Restrictive Human Myths, I'm going into a lot of different things with it. Damn, I'm really pushing to get it out before this election comes. So we might have another show just on that before November 4 or 5th or whatever it is.
All right. So everyone should be aware that one of his older books, maybe as old as Goodbye Germ Theory, that book should be sitting everywhere all the time. That would be a good book for someone with extra cash to buy 10 of them and accidentally leave it sitting around places.
That's what people do.
Yeah. Do you want to give out any kind of a web address or anything?
So then you just want to look up Goodbye Germ Theory and you Google that. You'll see it comes up instantly on Amazon or Ex Libris. That's the book. You could also go to sayno2vaccines.org, S-A-Y-N-O-T-O, vaccines.org. A lot of great free information that I put out over there over the years on cleansing your body of heavy metals, how to get graphenes out, primarily using NAC and glycine to produce glutathione in the body. A lot of that free information is out there. I will have more books coming out. Also, we've talked many times about the chelation process. I do oral chelation virtually for people. It's a very simple process. You can contact me for that. I do work with cancer patients in healing, different dietary protocols and things like that to enhance the healing and also on a consultation basis. And I've had tremendous success with that within my family and also in my patient practice. Best way to contact me is to go to drwilliamtrebing@yahoo.com. That's drwilliamtrebing, T-R-E-B-I-N-G, @yahoo.com. I have a BitChute channel as well. If you type in my name, you'll probably get 4 or 5 pages of information and my different lectures at Weston Price and things like that. And it's primarily on natural health and healing and the vaccination fraud state and the germ theory fraud state. But today we're going into cancers because it is possible. If you do know somebody from cancer, if you have cancer, do not give up. Your body is magnificent and you can heal yourself. You really can. Don't lose hope. Never lose faith.
We got to wrap up, guys. That is the first hour of episode 592. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crrow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full two-hour plus episode. They get access to all the forums, threads. They can create forums and threads, all the comments sections, and they can stream the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon anytime they like. That covers all my previous telescope work to include all the lunar waves and the first appearance of the sun we do not see or the second sun. Currently, members of crow777radio.com have exclusive access to my solar work. I have just posted my 5th solar investigation clip where I was more than fortunate enough to catch what the mainstream likes to call a CME. They like to tell you that 5 Earths will fit into it. They like to tell you that it could kill us all, which is all poppycock in my ears. But typically, I have to film 5 hours and then turn that into an animation to show the movement. I filmed for 5 minutes, and that video is now available to everybody at crow777radio.com. With that, I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era, and hope to see you logged in as a member for the second half. There it is, man. Cheers.
the enemy of knowing.